Chapter 20. Before the Big Bang. In this chapter, the start of it all? Stoking inflation. Inflating without inflation. The cyclic universe. Shedding light on dark energy. Most cosmologists used to say that nothing came before the Big Bang, implying it was the dawn of time. Nowadays, they're inclined to think of it merely as the sunrise on a new day. The universe might well have existed before, maybe in much the same form as it does now, or maybe in some unimaginably different quantum version. Time before time. My 4-year-old daughter recently started asking where she was before she was born. Her question went deeper than the facts of life. What does it really mean to exist or not? How do we really grasp what it means for us not to exist, either before birth or after death? Our dinner table conversation these days sounds like a café philosophique. Science helps with these age-old questions by illuminating the twilight between existence and non-existence, where one shades into the other. On one side, we have what is unmistakably a human being, and on the other, what is unmistakably not, although all the pieces are there. In the middle, human qualities progressively emerge. We can start to comprehend non-existence by adding or subtracting qualities one by one, such as the ability to recognize oneself in a mirror, to understand language, or to differentiate your spouse from a hat. What applies to an individual person was writ large at the birth of our universe. Our personal origins are tightly bound up with cosmic ones. Our transition from non-existence to existence actually began billions of years ago, when the particles and influences that make you, you, and me, me, began their tortuous journey. The qualities of the natural world progressively emerged. The origin of galaxies, particles, and distinct forces fall within the scope of current theories. Earlier milestones, such as the origin of time, demand a quantum theory of gravity, which itself is only gradually coming into being. The term Big Bang, discussed in Chapter 9, properly refers to the ongoing expansion of which we are a part. Often people use the term to refer to time zero when it all supposedly started, but the idea of a singular starting point comes from imagining rewinding the present expansion back to when all the galaxies we see would have been crunched into a single mathematical point. If there's anything cosmologists know, it's that we can't just extrapolate the present trend all the way back. For one thing, if all those galaxies immediately started flying apart from that initial moment, there wouldn't have been any time for light, heat, or material to pass between them. The galaxies would have had no way to affect one another and come to a common temperature and density as astronomers observe them to have. Second, the density of matter in that mathematical point would have been infinite, a so-called singularity, like the one supposedly at the center of black holes. Presumably, quantum gravitational effects prevented the density from becoming truly infinite, in which case time either emerged less abruptly or extended back. In short, something must have come before the Big Bang, that is, before the current period of expansion. What could it have been? And what came before that? Did time have an ultimate beginning, or does it stretch back forever? Some scenarios inspired by string theory and other theories tackle the first question, the immediate predecessor. Some tackle the second, the ultimate beginning. And some take on both. Living with inflation. The leading view is that a period of inflation preceded the current period of expansion. Before inflation, the precursors of galaxies were moving apart slower than light, so they had a chance to homogenize themselves. During inflation, cosmic expansion accelerated. Everything in the universe came to move apart at faster than light, and the galactic precursors fell out of contact. Relativity theory permits this sort of faster-than-light motion, which arises from the expansion of space rather than motion through space. After inflation, expansion returned to its regularly scheduled program. To push the galactic precursors apart required a form of energy whose gravity repels rather than attracts. Cosmologists generally attribute it to something called the inflaton. The inflaton is supposed to make the universe uniform, so it shouldn't single out a particular direction in space. That suggests it's what physicists call a scalar field. Unlike a magnetic field, which points in a certain direction, namely toward the North Magnetic Pole, a scalar field is just a single number at each point in space which has no specific direction. Definition: a scalar field is a special type of field that can be described by a single number at each point in space-time, as opposed to both a number and a direction. Because the standard model of particles has nothing that quite fits the bill, and because the inflaton operated only under the extreme conditions that prevailed billions of years ago, physicists reckon that the inflaton had something to do with the unification of physics. String theory and other candidate quantum theories of gravity offer several possibilities as well as alternate ways to achieve the same goals. Stringy inflation. If a higher dimension space alien tapped you on the shoulder, what would it feel like? You'd sense that something was acting on you, but you wouldn't be able to tell where it was coming from. When a force reaches us through an extra dimension, we perceive it as a scalar field, which doesn't point in any particular direction. String theory predicts many scalar fields, which represent various aspects of extra-dimensional geometry. One of them might have played the role of inflaton. Broadly speaking, this could have happened in two ways. First, the crinkled extra-dimensional space could morph. Like everything in nature, it sought to minimize its energy. If it started off with too much energy, it reshaped itself until it reached the lowest energy it could, a valley in the landscape of possible stable shapes. As it thrashed about, its energy drove inflation. After it settled down, the universe expanded normally. Because the lowest energy is not zero energy, the universe was left with a residue of energy. This residue could be dark energy, the unidentified stuff that is now causing cosmic expansion to accelerate again. Alternatively, space may be filled with parallel universes living on brains which scurry around exerting forces on one another. We can even get a situation where brains and antibrains, like particles and antiparticles, attract each other and, when they hit, annihilate in a blaze of strings and smaller brains. Their attractive force could have acted as the inflaton. Some of the debris of the annihilation could have wound up in our universe, thereby seeding it with matter. Like conventional inflation, these shenanigans don't have much to say about how long the inflationary period lasted or what preceded it, except that something had to in order to ignite it. The starting conditions for inflation may have arisen purely by accident. In the brain scenario, for example, the brains could have played bumper cars for ages until one of those collisions triggered inflation. Once inflation began, it spread in a chain reaction. String gas and black hole fluid. The preceding scenarios retain the basic concept of inflation and seek to describe it in greater detail. String theory also suggests more radical options that replace inflation with some other process that has much the same effect. According to one, the universe was once filled with a gas of strings. It looked like a food fight in an Italian restaurant, with spaghetti and fettuccine flying every which way. The string's momentum produced pressure which tended to push outward. Because of the extreme conditions, distinctively stringy properties also came into play. Namely, some of the strings wrapped around space and pulled inward. These competing tendencies balanced each other and caused the universe to remain the same size. Because the universe didn't grow, particles weren't being pulled apart, so nothing stopped them from interacting out to large distances. They spread out into a uniform gas, or rather a nearly uniform gas, with the random density fluctuations we find in any gas. Eventually, the wrapped strings loosened their hold on space. Space began to unfurl, the gas cooled off, and the fluctuations seeded galaxy formation. Galactic precursors separated by more than a certain distance got caught out and became unable to interact with one another. Only later, as time passed and the expansion mellowed out, did they come back into contact. Whenever cosmology sounds baffling, we can go back to the rubber band model for enlightenment. Imagine space as a rubber band inhabited by two ants. In inflation, the ants begin side by side, and a vigorous pull on the rubber band carries them apart faster than they can walk. In the string gas, the rubber band is initially slack, and the ants can wander back and forth at will. Then we start pulling on the rubber band. If the ants are already separated, even a fairly lackadaisical pull can carry them apart faster than they can walk. In another scenario, the universe started off as a gurgling soup of black holes. What an unappetizing brew it was! An equilibrium developed as black holes evaporated into radiation and radiation turned back into black holes. The principle of locality broke down because it was impossible to identify specific locations in space against the featureless faces of the black holes. But like everything, this toxic gruel had its quantum fluctuations, creating bubbles of comparatively low density. If such a bubble was lopsided, the holes inside it collided and the fluid thickened again. But if the bubble was uniform, the black holes evaporated without forming again, and a universe took root. By this reasoning, our universe is nearly uniform, because otherwise it couldn't exist at all. The cosmic inflection point. Could the two big questions of cosmology, what made the universe uniform and what the Big Bang singularity was, be related? One of the oldest efforts to apply string theory to cosmology, the pre-Big Bang scenario, argues just that. It takes its inspiration from the funny way distances behave on small scales. Definition: the pre-Big Bang scenario supposes that the universe before the Big Bang singularity was, in many ways, a mirror image of the post-Bang one. If we shrink a string, it reaches a minimum size, and then acts as if it expands again. Maybe the same thing happened to the entire observable universe. Its present expansion, the Big Bang, may have been preceded by a period of contraction, the pre-Big Bang. Instead of a singularity, the universe went through a transition. In many ways, the pre-Big Bang epoch was a mirror image of the Bangian one. Because the universe will continue for an eternity into the future, it began an eternity in the past, and because it will be empty in the infinite future, it was empty in the infinite past. It began a void and will end one. One thing that didn't change is that space never stopped expanding. Instead, what changed was its rate of expansion, from acceleration to deceleration. Because light couldn't keep up with the acceleration, the visible domain shrank during the pre-Big Bang epoch. In essence, this scenario says cosmic inflation was not a brief interlude, but the entire first half of cosmic history. For cosmologists, the primordial emptiness is appealing because emptiness is the least contrived state of space. The universe was devoid not just of matter, but also of force. In string theory, the strength of forces can vary, driven by the string vibrational pattern called the dilaton. In the infinite past, their strength was zero, which was an unstable condition. The forces spontaneously strengthened, as if the cosmos were switching on its own lights. Most of the action took place just before and after the transition, when conditions were most extreme, and that's the main difficulty with this scenario. Theorists can't verify whether it really works because it's too hard to follow the universe through the transition. Follow the bouncing brain. One scenario goes even further, introducing an alternative to inflation and the Big Bang singularity, as well as relating them to dark energy. It resembles the colliding brain picture explained earlier, except that the brain doing the hitting is ours. The Big Bang began when our universe and another brain banged into each other like cymbals. The energy of the collision filled space with hot primordial soup, a process that the inventors of the scenario call ekpyrosis. Definition: ekpyrosis is the idea that the Big Bang began in a blaze when our universe hit a parallel one. The brains rebounded but still exerted a force on each other, as if connected by a multidimensional spring. The force slowed them down, stopped them, and pulled them back together. A trillion years from now, the brains will bang into each other again, and so the cycle continues. Each go-around is much the same as the last. The universe refills with galaxies and with new forms of life that say to themselves, "All this has happened before and will happen again." The idea of a cycling universe seems to cycle around every now and then. In older versions, cosmologists supposed that the universe would expand, stop, and contract again in a big crunch. However, this concept had a fatal flaw. Whereas a Big Bang is nearly uniform, a big crunch is lumpy, gummed up by all the stars, planets, and other muck that formed in the interim, so the crunch wouldn't reset the universe to its initial conditions, and no true cycle could develop. The new cyclic scenario solves that problem. The spring that connects the brains stores energy, which acts as dark energy, causing each brain to expand laterally at an accelerated rate. The accelerating expansion dilutes the muck so that each bang begins afresh. Once acceleration ends and the brains start to approach each other, they shrink slightly and grow smoother and flatter, except for tiny wrinkles that will serve as the seeds of galaxies in the next cycle. As in the pre-Big Bang model, the challenge is to follow what happens during the moment of contact. Do the extreme conditions undo each cycle's careful preparation for the next? Physicists also debate whether the cyclic model really eliminates the need for an ultimate beginning. Skeptics argue that the cycles don't precisely repeat, so they couldn't have been going on forever. Loopy cosmology. Cosmology in loop quantum gravity isn't as well developed as its stringy counterpart, but has a certain minimalist elegance. If space-time is a mosaic of discrete atoms, there's a limit to how much energy it can hold. If we try to pack in more, gravity turns from a force of attraction to one of repulsion, pushing the energy right back at us. This provides a natural way to put the bang into the Big Bang. An implosion may have preceded the bang. Then, as the material got ever more packed together, gravity became repulsive and turned the implosion into an explosion. It was the big bounce. In fact, the repulsive gravity could have led to a brief period of accelerated expansion, as in inflation. Even without inflation, the universe had plenty of time prior to the bang in order to make itself uniform. Like the stringy scenarios, the loopy picture faces the challenge of following events through the switchover. Loop gravity also inspires speculation about alternatives to inflation, unconventional ways for far-flung regions to reach the same temperature and density. Maybe non-local links between points in space, the disordered locality mentioned in Chapter 18, serve as secret passages. Particles could sneak through them and find themselves billions of light years from where they started. A flow of particles could have evened out the density and temperature of the early universe, despite the chasm of space separating the precursors of galaxies. Or maybe the doubly special relativity mentioned in Chapter 16 mimicked inflation. If the Planck energy scale is a universal energy limit, the speed of light may not be constant. If it were larger in the past than it is today, light and other influences might have been fast enough to cover the distances between two distant regions. Later, as light slowed, the regions fell out of touch. After all, inflation requires galactic precursors to move faster than light, and we can achieve this either by pulling them apart or by changing the speed of light. You can see from this discussion that theorists' imagination is expanding about as fast as the universe is. The list is encouraging, because just a few years ago the conventional picture of inflation was the only game in town. In science, as in economics, competition can be a healthy thing. Within a few years, new observations should be able to start winnowing down the ideas. Creation ex nihilo. Whenever we talk about the origin of time, we find ourselves getting tongue-twisted talking about emerging when there was no time to do any ing-ing in. Many of the above scenarios try to get around this problem by saying that the universe has always existed. This strategy has certain conceptual advantages, such as allowing the universe to start in the infinite past as a placid void rather than a gnarled, high-energy mess. Still, it smacks of philosophical passing the buck. An eternal universe requires explanation, as surely as a finite one does, because time must itself be explained. A theory must be able to account for the initial conditions of the universe, even if they were set an eternity ago. In the loop. An infinite span of time has to be created in the same way as a finite span of time. Edward Harrison, University of Massachusetts, Amherst. Of the current approaches to a quantum theory of gravity, Bucky Space comes closest to showing how time can progressively emerge. Like efforts in the 1980s by Stephen Hawking and others, Bucky Space describes space-time as a quantum average of its myriad possible shapes. At the dawn of time, we couldn't take the average, but had to think in terms of all the individual shapes. Quantities such as distance and duration, which are themselves averages, did not yet have meaning. Physicists sometimes describe this process as popping out of nothingness, but the nothingness they refer to was not an absolute void. All the ingredients for space and time as we know it were present. It was just a matter of putting them together. Where did the ingredients come from? What would we see if we ran the clock back to those first moments? What did it really mean for the universe to go from non-existence to existence? No one yet has a convincing answer to a 4-year-old's question. Darkness falls. Next to the origin of time, the puzzles of dark energy and dark matter can sound downright prosaic, but they're still among the biggest mysteries in modern science. If anything, they confront physicists more directly. The origin of time may be a far-off event, but dark matter can flutter through laboratories here on Earth, and dark energy is tearing apart our universe as we speak. Neither fits into the standard model of particles. These dark things are among the most viable signs of a deeper level of reality. When dark energy burst into the world of science in 1998, string theorists seemed nonplussed. They were hardly alone. Dark energy posed a challenge to all of physics. Nowadays, though, theorists can explain the current acceleration in essentially the same way as inflation, energy associated with the shape of space. It fits right into many of the scenarios I described earlier. Or it might also arise from other spacey effects. In Chapter 14, I stated that particles transmitting the force of gravity can be trapped within our brain as long as they are neither too short nor too long. If they fall outside this range, they leak into the higher dimensions of space. The leakage puts our brain into tension, warping it. We can't see the warpage directly, but we still perceive it as a residue of energy built into space itself, namely, as dark energy. The lesser-known approaches to quantum gravity also suggest that dark energy is tied into the basic structure of space and time. In the Bucky Space theory, dark energy arises organically from the collective behavior of the primitive building blocks of space. In the causal set theory, dark energy is a natural byproduct of chopping the space-time continuum into discrete points. The fluids and solids approach to quantum gravity can explain one odd aspect of dark energy, why its density is so much lower than standard quantum theory predicts. As explained in Chapter 7, the irrepressible undulations of all the quantum fields in the world should endow space-time with energy, acting as dark energy. These undulations are so intense that their enormous energy should rip us all to shreds. So, why don't they? The fluids and solids theorists reason that the effect of these fields is not to endow space-time with energy, but to create space-time to begin with. In other words, standard quantum theory double counts the effect of these undulations, so the default amount of dark energy is zero, rather than apocalyptically huge. Compared to dark energy, dark matter is a piece of cake. In string theory, it's one of the supersymmetric particles. To be sure, not every physicist likes cake. Some argue there is no dark matter. The anomalous celestial motions astronomers attribute to dark matter may instead reflect a breakdown of the laws of gravitation on cosmic scales. None of the current quantum theories of gravity predict such a breakdown, and the evidence seems to be against it. But if such a radical possibility were confirmed, it would transform physics and give our family something new to talk about over dinner. The least you need to know. Both string theory and loop gravity suggest that the Big Bang singularity was not the beginning of the universe, but a transition from a pre-existing phase. The motion of brains or resculpting of space might account for cosmic inflation and dark energy. The present phase of cosmic expansion may be only the latest in a long-lived cycle. Loop gravity suggests the Big Bang was a big bounce. Dark matter might be one of the new breeds of particle predicted by supersymmetry.